Reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 5, reading from verse 12 through to 16. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourselves to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Mike, for the reading. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word and what it says, pray, Lord, that you would help me to make the message clear, that you'd speak to each one of us and help us to hear what you want to say to us. For your name's sake, amen. So, the leper healed by Jesus. We're going to look at four things today. First of all, we're going to have a little look at the disease itself and where it crops up in the Bible and what about it. We're going to also have a look at the man's request and the way he phrases it and the attitude that he has. That'll be part one. And then in part two, we'll see how Jesus responds to that request. And also, we'll have a look at how leprosy in the Bible is a picture of the sinner. Not to say that all lepers were sinners in the Bible. All lepers are sinners now. Well, no worse than anybody else. It just shows you how the picture of that disease, how God sees us when we go wrong. There's a verse in Isaiah which says this: "For the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or hardened or smoothed with olive oil." At the time, that was the picture God had of the people in his nation, Israel. They were disobeying him and turning away from him, and that's how he saw them. In the same way, very similar symptoms to those suffering from leprosy. So, let's have a look at the disease, just to start with. And here are some facts which I got from the Leprosy Mission site. First of all, leprosy is also known as Hansen's disease. I don't know who Hansen was or why he had that disease named after him. And it's caused by the Bacillus Microbacterium leprae. There we are, so that's a good one for Scrabble there for you, for your Scrabble players. There are more than 200,000 new cases of leprosy diagnosed globally each year, so this is still an ongoing disease which requires our attention. And of that 200,000, 51% of the new cases of leprosy diagnosed in 2020, this was the year they took the survey, were found in India. So India is a prime place for this disease. A cure for leprosy has been available since 1982, so it is a disease we can cure. But while treatment stops the leprosy progressing, it can't reverse the disability of what the people have suffered, so it can't replace lost limbs, as it were. So there is a cure now, but it's a sort of stop cure rather than go right back to the beginning. Just to say that the Leprosy Mission is a society that we support as a church and have done for some years. To say that Well, for those who gave to the box collection earlier in the year, to say a thank you for that. It raised over £500. That was good. And there's another opportunity to support them by coming to the Maundy Thursday Agape meal later this month on March the 28th. And there'll be a notice going up there, so just to say, come along to that and enjoy a meal together, a simple meal, as we sort of reenact the last day of Jesus' life before he went to the cross and that meal he had with the disciples. So an invitation there for you. So, a question. Five characters. I expect you'll find it fairly easy to guess. But what do these characters have in common? Elisha's servant Gehazi, Naaman the army chief, Moses' sister Miriam, King Uzziah, and Simon who hosted Jesus at Bethany. Any guesses? There's a man who's been paying attention. All of them suffered from leprosy. Some of them for short periods of time, but Moses' sister Miriam was healed of it shortly after she was given it. Naaman was healed of it as well. Maybe Simon, who hosted Jesus at Bethany, in fact, when he was hosting people, maybe he was healed as well. But they all suffered from leprosy. There are other unnamed people in the Bible who suffered from that disease too. And if you come along this evening, you'll hear about these four. This is in the Siege of Samaria, in 2 Kings 6 and 7. That's what Mark's preaching on this evening. And during that time, four lepers, who are normally out of the camp, go along to the enemy camp to plead for mercy, because things are so desperate. And they find that God has scattered their enemies. Sorry if that's a spoiler for you coming this evening, but that's just another case there. And also, later in Luke, we'll find that there's 10 lepers come to meet Jesus, and Jesus heals them as well. But only one comes back to thank Jesus. That one is a Samaritan. So, many cases in the Bible of people suffering from leprosy. But now let's turn our minds to this request that the leper himself makes. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Let's have a look at that bit first. Notice the extent of the leprosy. He was covered with it. This wasn't just a starting blister or two. He was fully covered with leprosy. This was a serious case. There would be little hope for recovery naturally from this point. It was just a case that he would probably just have to live with this until such time as the disease killed him. The disease is advanced. Ask yourself, why is this man in the town? This is a public place. This man shouldn't be here, in theory, because he was commanded to stay out of the town, to stay in secret places, away from places where he could contaminate others. He should keep away. Not only that, he should cover his mouth and he should also shout, unclean, unclean, if he did come across other people. The instruction for that is shown in Leviticus chapter 13. Anyone with such a divine disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone, and they must live outside the camp. But here was this man in the town coming to Jesus. And he was desperate, obviously. He'd heard Jesus is coming, and he saw here was hope. Here was a chance to find some healing. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. There's a lot in that part of the verse there. First of all, notice the humility that he shows. He fell with his face to the ground. That's the first thing. He recognized that Jesus was great and that he was humble. He fell with his face to the ground in worship. He begged him. And he acknowledges to Jesus that he is unclean, owns his fault, his disease. He also recognizes the greatness of the one he is coming to. This Jesus, he knows, is out of the ordinary. He knows that this Jesus must be great because he's healing people. He knows and senses that this Jesus is the Son of God. He's not asking for his rights here. He's not demanding healing. He's not coming saying, I claim this healing. No. He's asking for mercy and help from someone greater. Lord, he calls him. If you are willing, you can make me clean. There are two ways of coming to pray. Jesus illustrated this in another parable that he told later on, and we'll come to that in Luke eventually. Jesus' parable tells us this. First of all, there is the Pharisee. And he goes on something along the lines of this. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector who he sees in the corner of his eyes. Now, I don't know, nowadays we can't assume that all people working for the Inland Revenue were evil or anything like that. It's not saying that, but he's looking down on people. In those days, tax collectors were considered as those who sort of took money by force, more than they were required to take, and robbed people from what they were due. He then goes on to boast how he does this, he does that, he does the other, and how a wonderful person he is, and brings this wonderful, long, wordy prayer to the Lord. In the corner is this tax collector. He's not standing up. He's bowing down. And he just says this, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He doesn't even raise his eyes to heaven. He just, in humility, comes and pleads for mercy. Jesus' verdict was this, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Again, the man, the leper, coming as he comes in humility, face down, has the same attitude. In the book of Proverbs, we read this, God mocks proud mockers, but shows favour to the humble and the oppressed. God is on the side of the humble and the oppressed. And James will say, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. We come in humility, he meets us, and he brings healing to us. The attitude is right. But what about the request? Did you see those words there? If you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing. Not taking it for granted. Not saying, Lord, I come and I claim my healing by faith and this and that and the other. No, he wants to know if Jesus is willing. And there are some difficult questions that question brings us. Is it God's will that every illness be healed? Or is it not? Who gets to decide what is best for me? Me or God? For me, it would be wonderful if I could be healed of this, that or the other, or if this difficulty could be put out of the way. But sometimes God uses these difficulties, these illnesses, to train us to look to him. Trust him. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Says in Isaiah. God is saying, I've got the bigger picture. For you, you might think, it would be great if this could go out of my life at this time. I might be using that to train you, to help you to grow. Why wouldn't the Lord be willing to heal? There's a deep question here. Paul had the same issue. He was suffering from something. We don't know quite what it was. Maybe eye problems, perhaps, but we're not told. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. You think if somebody as great as the Apostle Paul was pleading with God, God would say, yes, that's fine, you're healed, that's fine, no problem whatsoever. But he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Whatever the weakness that God had, whatever he was suffering from, God used it in Paul's life to help him as he proclaimed the message. Sometimes people say, well, the problem is that you have lacked faith. And there's a verse in Mark, which I'll read here, which gives us a hint that there might be some truth in it. He's in his own town when we read this. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. But notice their lack of faith didn't stop Jesus actually healing some of these folk. There were still people healed. It was a case of his hometown. They thought they knew Jesus. He'd grown up there. They thought they knew who Jesus was, but they didn't. There's a danger here in that when we pray and we find that healing doesn't take place in the miraculous way, we may think it's lack of our faith and think if we just screwed up our resolve, that we might be able just to muster a little bit more faith, a little bit more faith, a little bit more faith. But no, that can just be the devil putting guilt on you. So don't take that on that guilt. Trust him. Bring it to Jesus and trust him for the response. It's in God's hands and not ours. So keep a trust in him and don't despair. And remember too that we just see here now this life. This 70 odd years, whatever it is that we have. Some it's less, for some it's more. But God sees what we will be in heaven too. He sees us on an eternal basis, so he knows the total plan for our lives, both here and onwards. So trust in him for that. There's a verse which Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13. Now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. There will come a time when we will see the whole of life, what God was trying to do in us. And then it will make sense. Then we will worship. As Paul writes also, it's the same one who had his request refused, remember? And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who appreciate him and what he does. But there's no doubting that this man, as he was saying, Lord, if you're willing, he was also saying, you can make me clean. You can. No doubt there. He saw Jesus' power. He saw that Jesus could do this. It wasn't a case of, you might be able to, but you can. And while we can't assume on his willingness, we can assume on his power. He has it all under control. He can make be clean. This is what Isaiah wrote, to just proclaim the greatness of our God. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host, one by one, and calls each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Jesus did that. Jesus made that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. The Father had given the power to his Son. He was part of the Godhead. And John writes this at the beginning of the Gospel: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is Jesus, the Son of God, Word made flesh. He has the power. This is the one that the leper has come to. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." You can make me clean. And he can make us clean as well. But notice that phrase there at the end, "make me clean." Not heal me, but make me clean. We'll have a little bit more, look more at that later. In the first part, as we looked at this leper healed by Jesus, we looked at the disease itself, and we looked at the man's request and how he phrased it, and his attitude as he came to Jesus. But now as we move to part two, we'll see how Jesus responds to this man's request. We'll see how leprosy shows us a picture of the sinner. Jesus reached out his hand to the man and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." That was the response. So let's look at that response. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Stop there just a moment. He touched the leper. Despite the risk, a leper had a potential to spread the disease, and no man normally would do such a thing as touch the leper. And you wonder what the response of the crowd would be as they saw this leper coming towards them, because where Jesus went there was usually a crowd behind. They would probably back away. They did not want to risk their own health on this, but Jesus touched the leper. Probably a gasp that came from the crowd. As we saw earlier, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear these torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone, they must live outside the camp. So here was this leper invading their area, and Jesus had touched him. "I am willing," he says. He confirms that he is willing to bring the healing that this man knows. Now, we don't know this man's history. He may have been only a leper, but to Jesus, this man was precious. He was a human being, and Jesus wanted to make him clean and to do what he commanded. Jesus said to him, this is what he said to Zacchaeus, remember, a sinner. He said, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And Jesus sees this leper and sees too that this man is also a son of Abraham. He's somebody else that Jesus is looking to. And then, "I am willing," he says, "be clean." Two words. That's all, just two words. In the form of a command, show Jesus' power over this disease. He has the power to heal this disease, to make this leper clean. And it's not a case of things gradually getting better. Immediately, the leprosy left him. No waiting, no gradual fading away, no going bit by bit, just gone, like that. Try again. The leper is healed. Next week, we'll hear about the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick, and it certainly shows here. That's the verse for next week. I shan't pinch Mark's sermon for next week, so we'll leave that there, but Jesus had the power to heal all, any disease. He gives the leper two instructions. The first was, don't tell anyone. Now, that instruction is not for us today. In our faith, we're not to not tell anyone. In fact, we're supposed to spread the good news. But to this leper, he said, don't tell anyone. We'll see why in a moment. The time wasn't right yet to confront the powers that be. The time would come soon, but at the moment, Jesus wants to be able to go about the country and spread the word. But he had an even greater message than that of being a healer, physically. He was to make people clean spiritually as well. And that could be lost if large crowds just kept coming to him and just expecting physical healing. However, the news spread about him all the more, because that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. Now, we don't know whether the leper himself did the spreading, or maybe it was the crowds behind him, the people behind him that spread the message out. But whoever it was, soon Jesus found himself constantly with crowds all around. And soon the Jewish authorities would take notice and think, we need to do something here. So don't tell anyone. The second instruction he gave him was, go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. So why do that? In Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 to 7, you'll find the full instruction. But verse 4 sums it up a bit. The priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedarwood, scarlet yarn and hyssop be bought for the person to be cleansed, and the birds would be sacrificed. And that would be, you'd examine the person and make sure that they were clean. After this, the person was free to go back to his natural life. Here's the man coming with said birds. The biblical instruction, this is what was written down, and Jesus hadn't come to do away with the Old Testament, but to fulfill it. Not only would the man be healed, but he can re-enter society again. As clean, he can now be reunited with his family, if they were still there, again. His life restarted. And then we come to this verse, right at the end of the passage. With all these crowds coming in with the healings, they took energy out of Jesus. They took things out of Jesus. And he needed to be reunited with his Father. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Spent the night in prayer sometimes with his Father. And in the same way, if Jesus needs to do that, how much more do we ourselves need to do this? I must confess that it's a weakness I have, but I don't that much. So that was Jesus' response to the leper. Now let's just have a look at leprosy as a picture of the sinner. This leprosy was so visible and involved the decay and corruption of the body, it serves as an excellent symbol of sinfulness. Sins corrupts someone spiritually in the way leprosy corrupts someone physically. Again, we're not saying that lepers are worse sinners than anybody else. We're just saying that the disease is a picture of our spiritual condition. Sin separates us from God, as leprosy isolates the sufferer from the community, outside the community, outside when we are guilty of sin, outside from God's presence. Remember that phrase that we started with? From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with olive oil. That's Isaiah writing to the people of Judah. And it shows how their sin made them look in God's eyes. And it's a picture of how anyone's sin makes them look in God's eyes. God pleads, is pleading for them to repent. And he, in the same way as Jesus makes the leper clean, can make us clean if we come and repent before him. So remember the leper's prayer. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. As sinners ourselves, we can pray that. In Isaiah it's written, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. As believers in Jesus, we can believe that he's done that for us, taken our sins away on his by dying. Jesus is still willing. Now it did cost him energy to bring healing to the leper, but to bring healing to us, bring forgiveness to our sins, it cost him so much more. It cost him his life on the cross, as we shall remember as Easter approaches. So let's thank him and praise him for his great love.